Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Welcome to On Driven on Joy 94.9 with your hosts Ash and Hugh. On tonight's programme, we will chat to AT, who is from Bangalore in India. AT has only been in Australia for a short time, but has already formed an opinion about being gay and Indian in Australia. AT will talk about his life in India, what he thinks about gays in India getting married, and the changes in his life since coming to Australia. Once again, we have another great discussion coming up tonight on Orange Ribbon, so stay with us for the next hour on Joy 94.9. Nine. This is Hugh and Ash on Orange Ribbon, and our guest tonight is AT. Welcome, AT, to Orange Ribbon. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Excellent. Now, do you want to tell us, AT, exactly where you come from?
Well, I've been in Australia for 3 months, coming from India. I lived in a city called Bangalore, born and brought up there, educated in Bangalore, pretty much known as the technology capital of India. A lot of technology, IT, and a lot happening in Bangalore.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the biggest, it's not the real capital, but it is like a capital in itself, isn't
in
it?
In itself, yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay. So how was growing up in Bangalore, being the whole IT technology state or city?
Well, I'm zilch with technology, so it really didn't interest me that much. But then, yes, I did enjoy the kind of growth it brought to the city.
Yeah.
As well as all that came with it was, you know, a different sort of a culture that we were looking at, a more Western exposure that we had to society in a very different way.
What style of life did you have in Bangalore when you were growing up? Just to give us a little picture about Bangalore and the way people live.
Well, I think it was more about, you know, I think I've seen both phases where we looked at society which was laid back and, you know, went by the conventional norms of society where people moved into family businesses and went on doing different things. But then, like I told you about the technology boom that came in later, and we had people switching over altogether into working for multinational companies and changing mindsets and, you know, so many different things and culture. So it was a very different experience over the 25 years.
Yeah, and also when the boom happened, because we can say comfortably more than 10 years ago now,
yeah,
that the whole IT thing happened. So you were in school probably.
Was in school then.
So did it change a lot in school? Like you suddenly had computers in the class and all that education?
Yes, it was. You suddenly had, you know, a strict regimen of following how you work on a computer and programming. But I was as bad with technology even then, and I would not be interested in class at all. But then, yeah, I got there.
You told me that you went to a Christian school.
Yes.
But you're not Christian.
No.
What religion are you?
I'm Hindu, but I really have never had a particular association or affiliation to a religion. I think it's more spiritual that I'd approach my religion.
Why did your parents send you to a Christian school?
Well, I think it was, again, a belief at that point in society where the missionaries were much more disciplined with the way education was being imparted. And I think also with the legacy that the school it carried forward. It was founded by the British in 1800s. Mm. So it was a really old school back in Bangalore. So with the kind of legacy it carried, it definitely meant that, well, you have to be one of the best to be there.
Right.
So,
was the school open to anyone, or did you have to be a certain class to get into the school?
No. It to begin with, I mean, we did see that shift of, you know, class and the money you had eventually when you had people with that kind of income. But then when I started off, it was more about merit and how well you could do in academics.
Right.
Yeah.
So did you have a mixture of different classes at the school?
Yes, but I think it was largely to do with the wealthier class of society that came to school.
You can see that in India, I think. Like any school you go to, like it would always have the similar kind of people in that school because that's how it is. I don't know.
Yeah, it's all about... Yeah, I think education is really commercialized in India. Mm. So you can really see that difference when you go from each school to the other, and you could see the difference in classes.
And you had, how many siblings do you have?
I have a younger brother.
Okay, and you all went to the same school?
Yep, my younger brother
and I. That, and probably your dad also went to the same school.
Yes.
So it's legacy.
It's tradition. It's like in the UK, I suppose, really. Yeah. Everyone does the same thing there.
Okay.
What about your family? You told me you have an extended family, and you all live in one building. Is that correct?
Yep. I mean, back home in India, traditionally it was the joint family set up. If you looked historically, it was families that lived under one roof.
Right.
When we added a bit of spice, if you might want to call it, and we changed it a bit, we all lived in different apartments, but around the same place. So it's, you know, everyone's accessible at all times, and it's fun to be a large family.
So you're very close.
Yes, very, a very close-knit family, but then you obviously don't have, you know, interferences on a daily basis. You definitely have your own private space.
Yes, so. And you said, you told me that you're very close to your grandmother.
Yes.
You visit her every night.
Every night, and that's something that I miss now, because it's been a good.
She must miss you.
Yes, she does. She does.
Okay. This is Orange Ribbon with Hugh and Ash and our guest AT, and this is Joy 94.9.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Daxi, that's the latest hit from Bangalore and India and southern part of India. Welcome back to Orange Ribbon with Hugh and AT. So talking to AT, he's from Bangalore, from the IT Technology Park. You know, this is the part I was saying about South India. You've got all these different languages.
Yeah.
So anyone who goes to school knows five languages. How many languages do you know?
Well, I know... five languages. No, I'd say four and a half, because I just started learning Spanish. So that's not Indian. So I'd say four Indian languages.
Oh, that's all right.
You just started learning Spanish?
Yes, that was back in India before my move to Australia.
Oh, why Spanish?
I like the language. It's energetic and fun, and very different from sophisticated languages like German and French, which tend to be more... I think for me as an Indian, it would be easier to pick up Spanish to start with.
I did
then
Spanish at school.
Did you?
Yeah, I can't speak it though.
It was pointless, isn't it?
It was.
Hugs. I was going to say, Hugh, what is this all happening? You were getting hugs
I've
on.
I've got a message.
Yes.
It says hugs to Hugh. Isn't
exactly.
that really nice? I think it's from Jason. Jason from.
Jason,
from
send
Sydney,
your name, please.
Sydney.
Next time you're sending hugs for him.
Yeah, but hello, Jason. How are you? Thank you very much for the hugs. Okay, back to AT.
Yes, back to AT. Back to AT. So, AT, obviously, after school, how was college?
College was, again, about
studying
academics all the time.
Yeah.
I think, again, it was about the legacy of the college, Christ College, back in Bangalore, which you had to study, like, I think, from 8:30 in the morning to 5 in the evening every day.
Yeah.
So that just went on forever. But then I think what really came about there was about trying to realize about myself.
Ooh.
And you know, where you're really kind of questioning, oh, well, you're single, you're 20 odd something, and girls don't interest you. What's wrong? And I'm like, no, there was nothing wrong. It was just about trying to come to terms with it, trying to analyze, well, what's going on.
What age did you start thinking that?
Well, it was evident back in school, at about when I was 13, 14, oh, yeah. around then. It was more about you don't know what you're thinking. I mean, at least I didn't know what I was thinking. So I kind of put it to the back burner, and I said, okay, I don't know.
You knew you were different.
I knew I was different, yes.
Right,
did know I was different.
But how different you found out later?
I probably was in college when I really started thinking.
So were
thinking.
You about 21 or something?
I was around 21, yes.
When you realized it?
When I realized, yes. And I kind of started, you know, going out and, you know, trying to see what's this really about. I mean, I think my first conversation about it was with my very close friend.
Yeah.
Who had come out to me about 6 months before. So I think in a lot of ways it was a good way for me to go up to him and talk about it and kind of, you know, get an understanding what's really happening. And I think to a large extent it was because of him that I'm able to identify with who I am, and I'm not in denial at all. So I think that was an amazing phase of my life because I had a very close friend of mine.
So he helped you sort of come through the transition?
Yes, it did, yes.
So Now, you told me, though, that even though at 21 you knew you were gay, but you still didn't really go out with anyone, or...
No, I think that was largely because, one, was it, you know, I'm trying to come to terms with it, and the other bit was also about, you know, I think a certain insecurity about myself, about the way I looked. My initial experience is when I really started going out and meeting people online, which probably was the most accessible medium back in India. You know, compared to you have like gay bars here in Australia or anywhere in the West where it's more open culturally. But back home in India was more about trying to meet people. And with me was more about, yeah, well, we can catch up. But then I think my initial phase or my experiences were more about rejection because I was overweight. I was about 85 kilos. And it kind of, you know, that phase was more about, again, drawing back and getting into the shell, saying, I don't think you're really going the right way.
85 kilos for you wouldn't be,
wouldn't be
over the top.
Because definitely
you're
not.
You're the same height as me, which is, you know, so five but then, nine
but
or something.
So in India, probably... over the internet, you'd see a picture and then you would meet that person and then you would not... So that rejection made you go thin, is it? So
yes.
Did you go to the gym? Or?
Yes, I went to the gym, rigorous exercise, 7 days a week, healthy food.
Okay.
And it's got me down to 60 now, so...
60 kilos.
60 kilos.
Okay, let's move on. I don't want to know that.
No, you don't want to know him before, huh?
Yeah.
No, but this is... So has it changed your perception about the whole gay hooking up or the quest for the one or...
Well, I like I was mentioning to you, I think in a lot of ways, I definitely don't want to be very... I don't want to be in the illusion that you definitely have the perfect one because I think it's all about how you really... Handle the whole situation.
That's very interesting you say that.
Yeah, it's interesting because you're never going to find the perfect one.
Mm.
It's all about, well, this is who you are and this is who I am. And yeah, like, I mean, we have to, you know, take it forward as two grown-up adults as opposed to trying to find out what's more perfect about you and what's more perfect about me. Mm. So,
do you think
he sounds very grown up? Then he is, you know.
Actually, we had this conversation last night as well.
Okay.
We had dinner last night, and we were talking in the restaurant. And you were saying, you know, you don't think you really will meet someone and be with them.
Yes, I think that's again because I think it's this constant quest that a man is on to find something better, to find something perfect.
Yeah.
Which I have come to terms with and said, well, you're never going to find someone who's perfect.
Mm.
But a lot of us know it subconsciously but don't come to terms with it. So.
Okay. See, I don't even think that the person you have to be with is perfect, but that's different. But in India, anyways, you go, all these people are getting arranged marriage.
Yeah.
They'd compromise straight away.
Yep.
You know, so probably what you're saying is going to stand for...
what do you... Tell us what you think.
Guys.
I mean, because the arranged marriage in India...
Yeah.
It's a big problem.
It's a problem, but it's a bigger problem if you're gay, surely.
Of course, I went only big problem if you're gay,
Well, I think, yes, with the generation before us, our parents, and before them, I think it is definitely an issue. But then being people who we are in the society we belong to today with the education and the awareness we have, I think it's really up to us to not get into... a situation where you're saying, well, I'm exploring at this point, and then, well, society's pressurizing me, family's pressurizing me, so I'm going to get married.
But that's what most people use in India.
But that's convenience, and I don't agree to it, because if you've been able to move into a phase where you're saying, I want to, you know, explore that situation of living with a man, when you knew that these are the obvious pressures you're going to have in the future, you shouldn't have got there, because it's just not fair for you to give someone that reason at a later point, because...
Okay.
You're associating someone else in your life at that phase, and you know, at 2 years, 3 years down the line, you say, "Well, I have to get married now."
Mm.
So where does it all go?
I agree to some extent, but the thing is, do you think it's more the Indian boys who are doing this, or do they actually fall into pressure, or just when they get 30s or whatever, they say, "Oh, I want to get married," you know? Do you think it's a convenience thing, or is it more like a choice?
I think it is a matter of convenience. They could make a choice and stick on to what they are into.
And nothing to be like pressurized from the family.
No, I don't think. I think it's about how well you can convince yourself.
Mm.
Yeah.
But don't you think that what you're saying, AT, is that people have got a choice and they don't have to get married if they're gay, etc. But don't you think that the lower classes who don't have as much money and don't have as much education as what you
have. Exposure
had.
As well.
Yeah. Mm. Don't you feel that they are sort of more under pressure to go through with the marriage and everything else?
I'm not ruling out different reasons, yes, because of the status and classes that we have in society, but I'm talking about the larger middle class, like we might call it in India, where you talk about them being educated, aware, access to information as much
agreed.
As they want, yep. and they could make their choices if they want to.
That is, I would really agree to that.
Mm, yeah. This is Orange Ribbon and Joy 94.9 with Ash and Hugh.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
This is On Driven on Joy 94.9. And
what was that track, Hugh?
Shirley Bassey.
We had some complaints about it. Thank you.
The quality of that track wasn't very good.
No. I think it's because of the... we had a glitch in the CD. So yeah. We're back now with AT from Bangalore. Bangaluri. something like that. They've changed the name, isn't it, again?
It's called Bangaluru.
Bangaluru, yeah.
Yeah. Bangaluru.
Yeah, they changed the names, you know. It's like good waste of money in India. going back to Bangalore... and coming out and all that. So did you come out to your parents at all?
No, I haven't come out to my parents because at this point, I think it's been about 3 to 4 years, they've had a few transitions happening in their own life. And I think to a large extent, I was waiting, like you were talking about, the perfect person or the perfect man to come my way.
He will
one
day.
Which briefly happened, but then I wouldn't call that perfect. But then, yes, I will tell them. It's just that it's not an appropriate time for me personally. Well, I can go and tell them today, but I know that, you know, I have to give them the benefit to come to terms with it. And at this point, they're definitely not in that state. So,
okay. Wouldn't your mother be thinking about trying to line you up with a bride at this point?
Arrange marriages, yeah.
No, surprisingly, my family, and particularly from the community that I come, when you go back to India, communities, you know, business communities particularly have, you know, you talk about marriages at the age of 24 and you probably have a kid by 26. But then, surprisingly, my family has been very supportive, particularly because I've been very ambitious about my career, and they've been very supportive, particularly mom and dad. But
the question about are you going to get married, it hasn't been asked yet.
It's not been asked. It's been asked from by the extended family, and again, to my surprise, it was my mom and dad who said, well, he knows what he's doing with his life, so if he has to get married, he'd do it himself.
And I suppose coming
that's
to Australia,
very, yeah.
you know, that probably sort of stopped him a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. So talking about rejection also, we had an interesting message come in by Rick Stella, but also it could be some Air Stella. I won't read out the message, but do you have any typecasting on who you date now that you are in your perfect, size and you're in a new country?
No, particularly, I really have never had a particular type. Mm. I mean, I know, again, we're going by the cliche that, oh, well, that maybe that's very cliche for you to say that you don't have a particular type.
Okay.
But then I think it's all about, you know, coming to terms with the whole fact that you were not going to find that perfect man.
Oh, God.
You know, it's just all of that. It's just as simple as that. But yes, I mean, if I had to really go down to being my age and say, okay, well, I'm attracted to these kind of men, it's definitely Turkish and Greek men. All of them line up right there in the front.
So you are actively dating people now?
No, I'm not dating people actively. I think one of the ways I do try to reach out is, again, the forum that's online, a platform which is available where you try chatting up with people. Well, I did notice that so far I've had a mixed response from people.
Okay.
Because I think it's, again, perceptions that people have about...
Or do you shy away?
No, I don't shy away.
Well, we have some evidence on the SMS.
Well,
one of your friends has said you shy away.
Well, Rick talks about... Yes, I am probably a bit, to start with, shy, but then I wouldn't say I'd shy away from dating.
Okay.
Yes, but I think that's probably a mix of different reasons. I think largely it's been about the kind of reactions that I've got when you try to chat up with people online, and the kind of responses you get are, well, it's about, you know, it's just about perceptions that you're really trying to change about being Indian.
You told me... online, you did get some rejection because you were Indian.
Yes. We tend to... I think that's, again, a personal preference that they might have, but I'd hope that it's not a judgment that they're making based on probably a past experience that they've had, because it's easy to generalize and say, well,
if
one Indian's like this, or, you know, one American, or anyone who's...
One Greek, anything.
Yeah, anyone's like this. You can't say everyone's the same. I think it's about, well, you have to give someone a fair chance to know them, and then say, okay, you know, I think at the end of the day, if you're able to tell yourself, yes, I did give someone a chance to prove himself, I think that's the best way to...
But to nationality, you're open.
I'm open to nationality. I've never had...
You're not one of these Indians who would only go out with an Indian.
No, well...
How rude is that comment? Is that for Mayhew? Just because I have an Indian boyfriend.
No, you've had a white boyfriend as well.
So that doesn't count.
And you had... And no, we won't talk about all your boyfriends.
Okay, yes.
We don't have time to... but you did mention to me that you like Turkish and Greek.
Yes.
So you're part of Greek and gay?
What's that?
Okay, I'll tell you later, off air.
So why Turkish and Greek? I'm putting them on the spot.
Okay, put them
on the spot. They're perfect, but...
Yeah, you just like them.
You just like them, yeah.
Okay, exactly. It's just like...
Just like a lot of people like Scottish.
Okay.
Okay, we'll move on.
So,
we'll move on.
Coming here, why did you have the whole move to come to Australia?
Well, it was for my job.
Oh, so you came on a work visa?
Work assignment, yes. I'm here on a work assignment for 2 years. And, I think it was a good progression for me from the kind of work that I was doing. So definitely moving on to doing much more and getting a lot more experience professionally. Mm. Yeah.
And how have you settled in Australia? I mean, have you found it easy?
Good so far. I think Melbourne particularly is very friendly, I must say. People are very friendly when you're out there on the streets. And I was in Brissy over the weekend, and it was amazing. It's a lovely city, very laid back, bright and nice. Mm. So Australia's been good so far.
What made you come to Melbourne?
Melbourne, I think, to a large extent, was... I think it was particularly largely because of my job and the kind of profile, you know, the high-profile clients that you're really trying to cater to are mostly in Melbourne and Sydney. So coincidentally, it was Melbourne that came my way, and I said, well I think it's a good choice. And most people would have, you know, a usual choice of the United States or the United Kingdom. But then I think it was good to start with Australia and then look at where it goes at the end of it, at the end of 2 years.
Do you think you'll move around Australia with your job?
I might
try and get transferred.
I might think about it a year down the line, not at the moment.
No. And because you said to me that Brisbane, the lifestyle was so laid back, and you really enjoyed that.
Yes.
In Bangalore, is the lifestyle faster? Is it busy? And
it is. It's chaos. A large part of it comes from, I think, again, you know, being able to manage infrastructure, which is at home. So I think a lot of your time tries, you know, you're trying to catch up with things because of basic problems with the infrastructure than with anything else. So.
This is Joy 94.9, and you're listening to Ash and Hugh on Orange Ribbon, and we'll come back to AT very soon.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Pyar kya to darna kya from Maan Gaye Mughal-e Azam, another I don't know if it's called a sidey track from India. Welcome back to Orange Ribbon with Hugh and AT here.
So let's go back to Bangalore and
Bangalore. Yeah, they've changed the name.
Yeah, it's officially Bangalore.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Sorry.
Let's go back to India.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you were on the gay scene in India, give us a little insight to what it's like, the gay scene in Bangalore, and you lived in Mumbai as well, didn't you?
Mumbai was, yes, a brief experience, but I think, again, it was all about how open one is to go out and meet people. You know, the party scene is quite full on. If you looked at Bangalore and Mumbai, surprisingly for me, I think it was, you know, as much as people say, well, society is conservative to the whole idea of being gay in India, I think it was very different to be when you're in one of those parties and you just can't imagine that, you know, it's an all-gay men party, and you have everyone having fun. No one's really intimidated or worried.
How old were you when you were in Mumbai?
I was about 24. I was about 2 years ago.
So you were already in a relationship by that time?
I was in a relationship last year in Bangalore.
In Bangalore?
Yes.
Okay. The gay scene in Bangalore, what's that like? I mean...
Well, I think, again, it was very, you know, largely because of the kind of population, the mix that you had, people from different cities, very cosmopolitan, and you definitely saw a large turnout at the parties, because online definitely was one of the platforms for you to meet people, but then it was always good to, you know, kind of bump into someone that you might want to, you know, spend time with or, you know, just make friends with at these parties, like it's out here in the West.
So, but it's more like house parties and everything,
yes,
isn't it?
It's about house parties.
Yeah,
it's about even in, you know, nightclubs that they would, you know, if one of the guys had a close friend in one of the nightclubs, and if the owner was okay with having a gay party, they would.
Okay. Yeah. But it's very strict where you, in Bangalore at the minute, I don't know how it is, but 3 years ago they had this whole lockdown.
Yes,
and 11 o'clock all the bars are shut, all the clubs are shut.
They still have that.
They still have it?
They still have it.
So how do people... that's why maybe everyone goes for the house parties.
House parties, yes.
Okay.
That's most.
And there's the biggest beat happening. Not beat as such, but the whole gay social corner, which is Cubbon Park.
Yeah.
It's called CP.
Yep.
Which is massive on Sunday evenings. I see you smiling. So you've been there?
No, I haven't been there, but I've had friends who've been there and talk about it. I was totally lost at times, and I would be, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, if you think it's entertaining, you should go, but I'm fine.
I think Ash knows more about it than anyone.
Well, it's, what do you know about CP?
Well, of what I'd heard was not the very nice thing, so
okay.
I'd rather not talk about it.
Okay, no.
His face has gone red now.
Yeah, it's a big park in Bangalore, and basically all the gay guys would hang out there. All the friends would meet up in the places where there's lights. Where it's dark, you don't know. You don't want to go there.
We won't go there.
Definitely don't
want
to go there.
So as compared from that, how was Bangalore and Bombay again are two? Mumbai again are big different gay cities.
Yeah. Whereas I think in Mumbai, like you were talking about meeting in parks, I think in Mumbai we definitely had these forums where you could meet on a weekly basis on a Sunday. We would have gay guys meet in daylight, broad daylight, you know, like you probably had a good as you in Bangalore, discussing gay issues and, you know, the problems you have in your life.
Yep.
So that was more a forum that they had in Mumbai, which you had guys meet every Sunday on, you know, on a weekly basis in parks or wherever they could.
Yeah.
Which was obviously clean business because you're there just to talk and discuss. Okay. And
Did you ever get any interference from the police?
No. Not as far as, like they call it in India, was all about hanky-panky. As long as you're not involved in that, it should be fine.
Mm.
Well,
is it illegal to be homosexual?
Yes, it is still.
It is still.
So what happens if you do get caught by the police? I mean, what's the penalty?
I don't know of any experiences.
Well, I don't know of any either, because of what I've known, I think it's all about, you know, how well you can not make it very obvious to everyone. As long as you maintaining that decorum and not making it very obvious, it should be fine.
But in just a month ago, 16th of August, Bombay had his...
first gay pride.
Yes, do you know anything about that?
Yes, Delhi and Mumbai.
And Mumbai, yeah.
Both of them had it. And even Bangalore had the gay pride as well.
Oh.
Yeah, so all the big cities in India had the gay pride, the first gay pride.
And it was like Azadi for gay people. That means freedom from this legislation.
Yes, it was an initiation about trying to get people to be more aware about gay rights in India. And as well as you were talking about, we've also been looking at a trend where we've had international, we've had Indian writers based internationally trying to support gay and lesbian rights in India. They're Indian writers, so yes, we definitely have people like Vikram Seth and, you know, definitely a lot of other writers who are kind of supporting. Well, it's an individual right, so we can't deny them. We can't make it a punishable offence under law.
Yeah.
Do you think once you've finished here in Australia, you'll go back and live in India?
Well, I wouldn't be able to tell. I'm not too sure looking at it from 2 years. I think it's definitely going to remain a professional choice than a personal choice.
Mm.
It really depends how I'd go professionally, because that's my focus.
So not emotionally. So you meet a guy here from Greece.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, come on, stay here. You'll still follow your head? The brain,
well,
I mean.
Sorry. Well, I think then it's going to be about how he and I can, you know, sort it out. If it means I have to stay back and my job takes a back seat,
yeah,
I will have to take it. I'd probably live with him then.
Okay.
I'd make that choice.
Okay. So we spoke about this last night as well.
Well, I don't know. The listeners one day, I don't know what you guys be talking about. We don't know about that.
It's funny, but you did say that you wouldn't expect someone to move with you for your job.
No.
But there again, it all depends on what that person does and how they feel.
That's true. And I think it's about, you know, how well two individuals can complement and get that sorted out. Then, you know, just say, no, I'm going my way and you go your way. That's easy. That's, again, convenience. So. Mm. Yeah.
Okay, going to that question about coming to Melbourne and Bangalore and all the differences. When you came here, you thought it was a very gay-friendly country. You were told that. How do you feel about Australia now?
It is gay-friendly, I must say, when you're, you know, like when you're trying to meet people. That was that initial phase of rejection that I had. I definitely had that instance where I was on a tram once and there was a man who was passing by. Mm. We were passing by the scene on Swanston Street where you definitely, you know, you have... very often you have the stall that's put up support gay marriage, and you had this man who was standing in the tram and he looked out and he was shocked. He was shocked and he was loud about being Catholic and how he thought about Catholics think about it as being a sin. And he was being really verbal about it on a tram, which was loud. And it made me think, well, you came to Australia because you were thinking about living in a conservative society back home. Mm. So where is this coming from?
It's the same way when you say, you know, not all Indians... If one Indian doesn't...
Yeah, so you can't generalize.
Yeah, no, never.
No,
for any country that stands.
Yeah, so I think it was... It's been
interesting, yeah. You'll have one of all the odds of here and there anyways in any part of the country.
That's true.
So when do you think you'll get round and talk to your family?
Family,
and,
yep.
And...
I will. Like I told you, I think at this point it's not appropriate. I think it's a personal decision that I've made and I know this is not the appropriate time, but... 2 years down the line, definitely, yes.
How do you feel your family's going to react?
I'm ready for anything. I think it's about, if it goes to any extreme, I mean, I obviously want it to be positive and say, yeah, we can deal with it. But if it goes to the other extreme, which most Indian families do, which I'm hoping it doesn't because they've been very supportive so far, I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it.
Because your grandmother, you're very, very close to your grandmother.
Yes, but then at the end of the day, I think it's about... how well you can make those choices and not let people affect you beyond a point.
Right.
Yeah, now that's good. You just take your time. Take your time and just you'll know what to do when it's time.
Well, that's a show for another week, and thank you very much, AT, for coming on the show.
My
it's
pleasure.
Been interesting talking to you.
Yeah, it was very interesting, and I'd like to see after 2 years how you feel about finding the one, and I'll definitely talk to you after 2 years.
We'll catch up on Joy again.
Yes, I'm sure we will. That's On Driven for another week. Coming up next on Joy is the team from the Sports Lounge. Thanks for joining us on Driven tonight. We'll be back again at the same time, 7 p.m. next Wednesday, with more insights into our GLBT multicultural community here in Australia and around the world.
I think Alan's on back, isn't it?
Yes, I think Alan's back next week, yes.
Yeah, he's going to have some more recorded shows from Hong Kong and all that.
That's right. And very, very quickly, there's a message here.
Don't, it's Jason, he's gone crazy.
No one likes Scottish. Thank you, Jason.
Okay.
And stop fishing. Oh,
yes.
Thank you. Okay. Well, thanks to Nick on reception tonight and answering their phones. Very good.
Thank you.
This is his first shift going solo. So, well done. Thanks, Nick. From Ash and myself, Hugh, good night.
Good night, people.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.